sky, icon of His grace. Oh.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. So wonderful to have you all here. We'd also like to welcome our online guests. We are going to have a wonderful time in God's presence this morning. And I'm going to invite you to please stand and join us. We are going to praise. And just before we start with a praise song, I want to encourage you. I know that you can probably think of 20 things. But I just want you to think of one thing that you're going to be praising God for now. His goodness, His abundance, His healing power, His provision, just for being our friend, for being good to us always. Let's be mindful. Let's just fill our hearts and our minds with what we are praising about. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. Thank You that You inhabit our praises. Thank You that we can come into Your throne room with a heart full of praise. That You give us so many reasons to worship and honor and adore You. Thank You for the complete work on the cross. That we can stand victorious, complete. We know that the work is done. That You have made us a royal priesthood. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your amazing grace. We just want to praise You this morning. Amen. Let's go, church.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. For you're the same God now as you've always been. of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so
I am blessed, I am called, I am healed.
you're faithful, and I just wanna thank you, Lord, for your salvation. You paid the price I couldn't pay. I call you faithful, and I just wanna thank you, Lord. You have been so
worship him this morning, church. Just worship him as your friend, as your savior, as the King of Kings. Just thank him from the bottom of your heart. Just let that gratitude rise up from within you. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the miracles you are doing in our lives. Come, church, talk to him. Just thank him this morning. Thank him from the bottom of your heart. Just thank him for who he is. Let praise rise up. We can't keep quiet this morning. We've got our God is alive. We love you this morning. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. Thank you for protecting us, for our families, for our lives, for our health, for our provision. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. We love you this morning. We love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for your unfailing love. For your unfailing love. Thank you, Yona. Just sing it for us once more. Let's just worship him. How you love us this morning. Just raise your voices, church.
You have been so good to me.
Father God, so good. Oh, we love you, we love you. Thank you, Father, for your sweet presence here. Thank you for your love. We love you back in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, worship. Before you sit, greet the person behind you. Say, how's it? Thank you, worship team. It's so good. Isn't it good to be in the house with the wonderful family that we are? The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. And you know what? This is far better than an electric blanket. We get the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. But on that note, welcome to our online family. Enjoy your electric blanket. We're just saying it's good to be here too. So I'm Dee, for those of you that don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here. I would just love to welcome our first-time guests. Do we have any guests here? We want to give you a happy, happy and give you a present from us. Won't you raise your hands? Be brave. Let's give them a warm welcome, family. Keep your hands raised. We would love to just bless you. We also have kids fun upstairs. Over here, so if you want to go upstairs, we can have 4 to 13-year-olds, and we also have a toddler ministry.
that's going and keeping our precious toddlers. If you hear some banging, it's just our toddlers. It's all right. We get used to house noise. Amen. And then I am excited just to share, we have our open day today, and we are excited to have Queen Bee open with all their staff. That is our preschool next door. And Sunette has done such an incredible job of just raising up her staff, getting it ready. So please pop next door. We've got that open. And then across the road is our Tando House is ready and open. And it is incredible. I just want to thank every person that has participated in just making this a home. You know, we can build buildings, but this has become a home. It's not even Tando House, it's Tando Home. And so for everyone that has put time after hours, the hanging curtains, hanging pictures, cleaning, decorating, wow, it has just coming out so beautifully, and we are ready for our baby. So thank you for everyone that has sown into this family project. I really want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. And then just some quick announcements. The Tribe Young Adults are having another worship evening. It's going to take place next Tuesday, the 8th of August, not on Wednesday because it's a public holiday. So if you know young people, or maybe you're new in town and you are young, please join. I'm not putting age restrictions. It makes me feel nervous. But yes, the young tribes are welcoming you to go and hang out in the presence of God next Tuesday. We started our Financial Peace University last Sunday night. It was incredible. I made sure I started doing what I've learned. So my bank manager was here in the first service, so she will account. I have started my practical tools. But if you weren't here last week and you still want to join, you are free to. Please just sign up at the desk and you are welcome to join week two. It is phenomenal. Then, ladies, are there any ladies in the house? Go woo woo. Yes. Ladies, good news. The pajamas are going into the cupboard and the heels are coming out. Don't get nervous. Even if you have heels as high as these heels, they count. We are going to be having a heels. You've got to learn how to say this before the day. Heels, hats, wholeness, high team. Okay. Men don't have such complicated names. It's only us. They just have rugby day. But we go big. So ladies, from next week, please save the date. You can book at 70 Rand. We've got a wonderful guest speaker. Invite your friends. Numbers are limited. So yes, get your 70 Rand ready and we will be able to book tickets next week. And then on that note, KV Store and iCafe have got a partnership going today. If you buy Ashley Terradez's God Wants You Rich book, you get a free cappuccino. Isn't this incredible? The money you saved on your cappuccino can go into investing in your life that will change your life forever. Okay, this is all happening. And then next Sunday, we have Growth Track. Ugh. You see, I can say heels. Everyone say Growth Track. Growth Track is next week. We do this once a term. It's such a wonderful, just a two-week course after the second service, going through our values, going through some of our foundational beliefs that we believe as a church. It will help you get your giftings, all of that. So if you haven't done it and you want to do it, please sign up at the iDesk for next week's It Starts. So just 2 weeks and we would love to have you there. And then it is my privilege to introduce Witzke. Him and his precious wife, Lenta, are part of our exco. They give us such wisdom and are such a blessing in helping us lead this incredible team. And so he has something on his heart that he wanted to share with us regarding finances. And then we've got a great bumper. And then Pastor Yanu will be sharing God's word this morning. So have a great service. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mama D. God is so good. I was just in awe through this week in preparing for my message. And I was thinking, what happens when we give? And specifically pertaining to Knysna Vineyard, and we are truly blessed to be amongst people, a congregation, a church that's got a heart for giving. People that are generous through and through. And we have various ways of giving, but my focus today is not necessarily to say and ask for the giving, as I actually want us to just highlight what happens. What is the fruit of our giving? And I made a short list that's actually very much longer. And just to think of, we had a alpha course, an 11-week alpha course, where we fed people. We've got so many testimonies of people that got to know, gave their lives to the Lord, experienced massive transformations. Let's look at Queen B, our primary school, and Sunette, our principal, and the team. Have done amazing work where they sow into those kids' lives every day, and that's a fruit of your giving. Our KV, our youth ministry, where so many lives of youths are being touched. I also know where the youth come to church and then they actually end up, then the parents start coming to church. It's not always a given that the parents are in church. And we've had countless testimonies on that front as well. Once again, fruit of our giving. Tando House, I'm blown away at the generosity of people and people's hearts. And then last but not least, we're starting with Financial Peace University. Once again, brought to you, and these things, it costs money, and it's a we you guys make it possible to be able to partake in this, and then eat from the fruit. So, I wanted to share a special verse with you guys, and it's one of my favorites, and I'm pretty sure you know it. But before I read it to you, I asked God just to share something new about this verse with me. And he said that it all comes down to what is God's will. And I know a lot of people, it's a constant question, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for earth? What's God's will for Knysna Vineyard? And Jesus made it plain and simple in his prayer, where it's, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Plain, simple, no fluff, doesn't make it complicated, is your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So, and leading into that, knowing that what God, it's all about kingdom. But do we know what the kingdom looks like? And now I'm going to read Matthew 6, verse 33, is seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So, my question to you is, if you seek something, can you do it without being able to see? How do you look for something if you can't see? We need to trust God and learn or acquire that ability to be able to see in the spirit, see in your heart, see in your mind's eye. Lenta and I, we chatted, and she said, for her, it's much better to read a book compared to watching a movie. Because when you read the book, that story comes alive in your mind's eye. You see it. You basically live it. And that's what we need to do. And as we're spending time in God's Word, we need to see it. I'm going to lead into our next verse in Mark 4, chapter 30, where Jesus, he spoke in parables. He told stories. I'm going to read it here. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? See, he's trying to get us to see it. He told the disciples, he wanted his disciples to see. And then the Tree of Life version, it said, Yeshua also said, how should we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what story shall we present it? So it's, there's a little nugget there. The key is in seeing, and because when I read it, God said, you read seek, but you want to cross out the K. We need to be able to see to seek. And as a matter of interest, I wanted to see how many times the word see is in the Bible. So let's look at money. Okay, the words money is used 167 times in the Bible. Okay, then the word seek is used 309 times in the Bible. So that's double. Okay, how many times do you think see is used in the Bible? 1,500 times. So surely there's a weightiness to that. Jesus wants us to be able to have this this capability. So, but why? Why do we need to be able to seek the kingdom of God? We need to know what it looks like. Okay, why? Because with God, what's God's will? God's will is for his kingdom, as it is in heaven, to come to earth. So if my situation or circumstances, if what I see on earth, if I look at my bank account or if I look at a negative situation, I've got a reference now which I can compare it to and I can speak into that situation. So if I'm experiencing lack, I know that's not of God, because I know there's no lack in heaven. If I look at, might be experiencing health issues, I seek God. I spend time in his word, and the more I do that, I get to know him, and I know that there's no sickness in heaven. And now I can speak into this on earth, because that's what God's will is. And that's also part of the fruit is we don't focus on the end result of that, and he will give you everything. We need to first focus on seeing and seeking God's kingdom. I'm going to be speaking next week as well, taking it a little bit further. But there's a picture that I wanted to show you. So my question is here, do you see the seed or do you see the tree? Okay. So that tree is the complete tree in its fullness, in seed form. So it's just it's a way of seeing. It's a perception. Change your perception. And my prayer, and for our as Nazareth Vineyard, and as a community, my prayer is that we have eyes that see, but see kingdom. We see that the true heart of God in a situation, in what's happening. So my prayer for this week is that God will open your eyes. That we'll see. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all in church this morning. My name is Janu, and I have the privilege of sharing the word this morning. You've already heard some good preaching, didn't you? But you're going to hear some more word this morning, and I'm so excited about the series that we're currently doing. We're calling it Grace for Life. And I love a name that we've given this series, because God really has grace available for us in life. And he has an abundance offered available to us, and he desires for us to experience his grace, to walk in his grace. And, you know, sometimes I think we limit God because we settle for less than his best. And I hope my message today will be an encouragement to you to really reach out and freely receive all the good things that God has available to us by his grace. And so this morning I would like to talk about five different expressions of God's grace, or we could call it five different manifestations of God's grace in life. But before I get into it, I just want to say that the Bible really places a big emphasis on grace. If you read through the Bible, especially the New Covenant, I want you to notice how often the word grace is used. And God really places a big emphasis on his grace in his word. And I just want to give you some examples. But we are told in the word to continue in grace. We're told to abound in grace. The Bible says we need to be strong in grace. And it says we need to grow in grace. So hopefully you've already started to experience these things through the series. And hopefully you will continue to experience it. But God wants us to continue in His grace, abound in His grace, to be strong, not in ourselves, but in His grace. And He also wants us to continue to grow in grace. But we're going to look at five different expressions of God's grace this morning, or five areas where God desires His grace to be at work in our lives. And I don't believe this is a complete list, because God's grace can manifest in wonderful ways as we need it in our lives. But I want us to focus on five of them this morning. But before we start looking at it, I just want to read some verses. And the Bible says in John 1 verse 16, "For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." Don't you think God has really set us up for victory in life? You know, and it's saying here, all these things we have received freely. And 1 Peter 4 verse 10 talks about God's grace in its various forms. So we're going to look at God's grace in its various forms this morning. But an example I want to use is electricity. I don't know how many of you have been on a mission trip or a country where it's quite primitive. Later this year, a team of us will go to Lesotho on a mission trip, and we'll also go to an area where it's quite primitive, but at least they have electricity there. But let's imagine you go to an area where people don't really use electricity, they don't really know about electricity, and you choose to invite them over to come and visit you. And as they come and they visit you, you take them to your house, and as you enter the house, you put the light on, and they look at the light and they're like, wow, you know, how does this happen? And you don't really want to go into detail, so you just say, electricity. And then let's pretend it's not today, but it's in December and it's quite hot, and you have a ceiling fan that you put on, and they look at the motion of that fan and they ask you, how come? How does this work? And you just say, electricity. And when you go to the fridge and you take some food out, and they are mesmerized by the fridge and how it keeps the food cold, and they ask you again, how does this work? And you say, electricity. And finally, you choose to heat up some food in the microwave, and now they're really confused. And they ask you, what is going on here? And you say, electricity. Well, we know that electricity is power that can manifest in manifold ways. And it is the same with the grace of God. Now, thankfully, the grace of God never runs out on us, unlike electricity in South Africa. But God has an abundance of grace available to us. And you know, His grace can really manifest in different ways in our lives as we need it. And it's so important for us to really know what the different manifestations are. Because even in Romans 10, Paul talks about people who don't know Jesus yet. And he makes the argument where he says, how will they hear about Jesus unless someone tells them? And he says, how will they believe unless they hear the message? And see, it's the same with other things that God has available for us. Because faith is born where the will of God is known. So it's so important to know what the grace of God wants to do in our lives, for us to experience it and receive it by faith. So we're going to look at five things today, and all five of them start with a letter S, so hopefully it will make it a bit easier for you to remember them. But the first one I want us to look at is saving grace. Aren't you thankful for God's saving grace? You know, if you're going through a difficult time at the moment, or life is not really heaven on earth, you can still be thankful. And if the only thing you have to be thankful for at the moment is the fact that you're saved, you can praise God and you can be a thankful person. Because it's because of His saving grace that we are new creatures. It's because of His saving grace that we are forgiven in life. And it has nothing to do with our own efforts or our own works. It has everything to do with God's saving grace. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, talk about God's saving grace, and this has been our theme scripture for this series. And the Bible says, "Therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So we see here that we are saved by grace through faith. Sometimes people will say, I am a grace person. And others will say, well, I am a faith person. Well, we need to be both. We need to be grace and faith people. But you know, people also sometimes make statements like, faith is so important and faith will move God. But biblically, that is not correct. Because God doesn't move by faith. We can't get God to do things just because we believe. It's actually His grace that causes our faith to move and reach out and receive what He has made available to us freely. And I'm saying that to say that without God's grace, even us believing, even our faith, would be meaningless. You see, the saving grace of God enables us to simply believe and to trust in what He has already provided for us. Praise God for His saving grace. You know, the Bible also says in Titus 3 verse 7, because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. And some people think, well, thank God for saving grace, but that is just for unbelievers. And that is definitely available to everyone, just like it was us when we were still unbelievers. But saving grace is also for believers, because we get saved by putting our trust in God's saving grace, but we also stay saved through His saving grace. See, we mustn't think that we get saved by simply trusting in Him and what He has done for us, but now we have to live holy enough and do enough good works in order to stay saved. It's all because of God's grace and us simply trusting in Him. Aren't you thankful for His saving grace and what Jesus has done for us? So saving grace is the impartation of God's forgiveness. And I believe it's the most important expression or manifestation of grace that we can talk about. But it's important not to stop here, because God has other things by His grace available to us as well. Imagine if I told you this morning, you know, at my house, we only use the fridge to keep the food cold, but we don't make use of a microwave or anything else that electricity can produce for us. My wife won't be very happy about that. But you see, spiritually, that is what some people do sometimes. They settle for saving grace only. And that's wonderful, but the grace of God wants you to experience other things in life too. And don't settle for less than God's best. So we're going to look at some other manifestations or expressions of God's grace too. And the second one is sanctifying grace. And sanctifying grace is God's power and ability to purify us and enable us to live holy lives in a corrupt world. And the word sanctify means to make holy. Now, aren't you thankful that God also has sanctifying grace available to us? You see, saving grace is what makes us holy on the inside. It is what justifies us. It makes us just as if we've never sinned. Our spirits are perfect, complete. It looks like Jesus. It is sealed with the Holy Spirit. But God also desires for that life that is now on the inside of us to flow out of us. And you see, living a holy life is also possible through God's sanctifying grace. Many people get frustrated, they struggle with things, bad habits, even addictions, and they desire to be free, but they remain stuck because they try and get out of it through their own strength. You know, living a holy life in your own strength, some people call it hard. I'm glad it's hard for you. I find it impossible. But it's possible. In fact, it becomes easy through God's sanctifying grace. And it's so important for us to know that His grace also wants to do a work in us where we start to look more and more like Jesus. The sanctifying grace of God teaches us that we can't live holy in our own strength. We can only do it through His grace. But it also teaches us that God does care about how we live. See, it won't affect who we are on the inside, but there's a watching world out there that's watching us. And God wants us to be a light in this world and an effective witness for the Lord Jesus. In Titus 2 talks about the grace of God. And from verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That means it's available to everyone. And then it goes on to say, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So what does the grace of God do? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You see, grace is about what God has done for us, but it's also about what He empowers us to do in life. And His sanctifying grace empowers us to say no to ungodliness and yes to what is right. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 50, it says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Sometimes we emphasize that Jesus is our wisdom. We emphasize that He's our righteousness and redemption. But the Bible says He's also our sanctification. Not just our justification, but He's also the one that enables us to live a holy life. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Rely on the sanctifying grace of God. But it's so interesting what Jude says about the grace of God. And I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. There's only one chapter of Jude. And he starts off by saying, "Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His holy people." So it's interesting that he's saying that I actually had a desire to write to you about our salvation. God's saving grace, the gospel, the good news, what Jesus has done for us. But then he says, for some reason, I find now that I have to write about something else. And he gives us that reason. In verse 4, he says, "I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." So what is Jude telling us here? He's saying grace is never divine permission to do what is wrong. It is always divine empowerment to do what is right. You know, we live in a day where we have access to so many teachings and things online, and it's wonderful. I also listen to Bible teachers online. I listen to other churches. You know, praise God for technology and that we can use it to advance His kingdom. But I want to encourage you, when you listen to other people, make sure you don't listen to people who are legalistic, because legalism will kill. But also be careful not to listen to people who say the things that Jude was talking about here. Because God's sanctifying grace enables us to be a light in the world. Don't rely on your own strength. Rely on His sanctifying grace. And His sanctifying grace is God's impartation of His holiness in our lives. And you might be saying, well, what exactly will God's sanctifying grace produce in my life? What will it help me with? And I just want to give you a few things. The first one is power to carry out the will of God. Whether it's your calling, Mama D was talking about how God calls us to things that are bigger than us. But you know, through God's sanctifying grace, we can experience the power to fulfill the calling and the will that He has on our lives. And whether it's just following the general will of God that we find in the Word of God, it gives us the empowerment to do it. You know, the grace of God can sometimes make us look good in life, but we always need to be quick to give Him the glory. It's because of His grace. But it can also give us the power to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It can give us the power to defeat carnality, sin, and worldly corruption, as Titus chapter 2 said. And it's also empowerment to live a godly lifestyle, which is a powerful witness to the Lordship of Jesus. Thank God for His sanctifying grace. And then the third one I want to talk about this morning is strengthening grace. God also has strengthening grace available to us. And strengthening grace is God's power and ability to energize and inspire us to live victoriously to reign over the challenges and circumstances of life. And many times we face challenges, we face problems in life, we live in a fallen world, and God's strengthening grace can help us in those times. But even in good times, we can also expect to experience God's strengthening grace. You see, this manifestation of grace enables us to thrive in life and not just survive. It's so important for us to experience this expression of grace that God has for us. In Romans 5 verse 17 describes it so well. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Thank God that we can rule and reign in life. And you know, when we rule and reign over sin and death and things that are under the curse, those things won't rule and reign over us. How will we rule and reign over them? Through the grace of God and his free gift of righteousness. God wants us to experience his strengthening grace. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. You need strength today. God has it available for you. And Paul also talked about God's strengthening grace when he faced his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm not going to go into detail now, but some people think his thorn in the flesh was a sickness or something that he struggled with. But I really believe it was simply persecution that he faced for the message of the gospel. And in the chapter just prior to that, he listed some of his infirmities. And we could put all those infirmities under the umbrella of persecution. But then he prayed to the Lord and he said, Lord, will you please deliver me from this and this persecution I'm facing? And he said, the Lord told him, I can't deliver you from this because it won't be biblical for Jesus to answer a prayer like that. The Bible says that we will suffer persecution in this life as believers. But he did say that Jesus encouraged him by saying his grace was enough for him and his strength was made perfect in weakness. But it's interesting, it was almost like Jesus used the words grace and strength interchangeably there, saying, my grace is enough for you, my strength can be made perfect in your weakness. But just like Paul experienced God's strengthening grace, we can also expect to experience it in our lives. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, talks about how the early church experienced this manifestation of God's grace. And it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Why were they so fruitful? Why did they see all those miracles? Because of God's strengthening grace working in and through them. If we want to experience what they experienced, we also need to allow God's grace to work powerfully in and through us. And Colossians 1 verse 12 describes this strengthening grace so beautifully and powerfully. And I'm going to read out of a message here. And it says, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Isn't that beautiful? You know, sometimes I like to comment on some verses, but this put it so powerfully that I don't want to comment on it and mess it up. But it just describes God's strengthening grace so beautiful. This is what God wants us to experience in life. And strengthening grace is the impartation of God's power. It keeps us from being fatigued in life. It keeps us from being defeated. Even if you have failed, you're not a failure. And God's strengthening grace can lift you up again. It can restore things in your life. And if you're feeling fatigued today, why don't you trust God for his strengthening grace to do a work in you? And it will lift you up again. It will keep you from being fatigued and defeated. Then the fourth one I want us to look at is sharing grace. And sharing grace is God's power and ability to meet our needs and make us joyful in giving to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read verse 7 and 9 there. Paul says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So it's interesting here, we see that Paul is saying there's a grace of giving. Just like there's a grace for other things, there's a grace of giving here. And he's saying, as you excel in all the other good things, make sure you also excel in this grace. In the context of my message today, we could say, as you excel in God's saving grace, His strengthening grace, His sanctifying grace, make sure you also excel in sharing grace. And he talks about the grace of giving there that we can experience in life. Now, sometimes as people, we don't have a problem to excel in the grace of receiving. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with receiving. In fact, we need to learn to be good receivers. We need to learn to be good givers, but we also need to be good receivers. And God has many things for us that we need to receive freely from Him. But Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Sometimes we think it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. But because of God's sharing grace, we can experience what Jesus said, where it's blessed to receive, we enjoy receiving, but it's even more blessed to give in life. And there's a grace available for us to give. Paul goes on to say in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And in context there, what was he talking about? He was talking about finances. You know, there's a grace for you to have your needs met. There's a grace for you to be generous. There's not a grace available to stay in lack and to be selfish. The sharing grace of God will meet our needs. It's where we can experience God's provision and where we can be blessed to be a blessing. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 10, Paul also talked about it. And he said, and God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. We're talking about sharing grace. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Because of the sharing grace of God, we can increase in our resources and in being generous. If that is your desire, you can experience it. Not because of your wisdom or because of your efforts, but because of the sharing grace of God. And I love this quote by Mark Hankins. He said, abundance has a way of coming to you when it observes generosity. If you desire to give and you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. And that is so true. You will never be able to outgive Him. And you will know that sharing grace has done a great work in you when you start to enjoy to give. God loves a cheerful giver, where it's not a burden, but it's a blessing. And some of you might be saying, well, Janu, I really have a desire to be generous. I really have a desire to experience God's sharing grace, but I don't have a lot to give. And that is fine, because generosity is also more of an inward thing than it is an outward thing. Maybe you don't have a lot to give, but you can still be generous with what you have. And I love what Craig Rochelle said. He said, if you want to be generous when you have more, learn to be more generous when you have less. So we can tap into God's sharing grace regardless of how much we have or don't have. And His sharing grace can cause us to increase in our resources and in being generous. And Proverbs 28, verse 25 simply says, trusting the Lord, leads to prosperity. You want to increase, you want to prosper, you want to experience God's sharing grace, trust Him. Now, trusting Him entails doing what He says. It entails doing what the Word says. But as you trust in Him, the Bible says it will lead to prosperity. So sharing grace is the impartation of God's generosity in our lives. And we can all experience His sharing grace. Then the last one I want to look at this morning is serving grace. And serving grace is God's power and ability to serve Him and others with His divinely imparted gifts. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, each of you, notice not most of you, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What does this tell us? It tells us that every believer has received gifts. You have gifts. And God tells us where we receive those gifts, those grace gifts, so that we can serve one another. And if you wanted to discover some of your gifts, and if you have a desire to serve, I believe a great place to do it is at your local church. And at Neisner Vineyard, we have wonderful serve teams. And if you're not part of a serve team, I want to encourage you to join one. It will be a blessing to you. Just like you will bless the people, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You'll get to know people. You'll be part of a team. You can go to our iDesk, look at the form. And if you have a desire to serve more, like the Bible says we ought to, please consider joining one of our teams. We have wonderful teams. I sometimes call them dream teams. And I lead one of them. But we have wonderful teams available here. But you know, when it comes to God serving grace and servanthood, we never graduate from servanthood. I think sometimes we think, you know, if I reach a certain level of maturity or a certain level of success, then maybe I'll graduate from servanthood. But servanthood is greatness. And our assignments might change, our roles might change in life, but we're always called to serve and to walk in God's serving grace. There's a grace available to us to serve. And what an example Jesus was to us. You know, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give His life as a ransom to many. And you might know the story, but Jesus washed his disciples' feet and He said we should do likewise. Now, I believe that can be a very powerful act, but I must, you know, admit today, I'm not a big fan of feet. So you're going to struggle to get me to wash your feet. But if God leads you to do that, do it. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's a way to serve someone. I just struggle to do that. But it's interesting. At the time when Jesus did it, the rich people over time usually had servants, multiple servants. And the lowest of the servants at the time would usually be a woman. And she was the one who would wash the master's feet. Now, when we understand that context, isn't it amazing that Jesus chose to wash His disciples' feet? The Son of God. What a humble Savior we serve. What an example He was to us. And He said we should do likewise. So let's also be intentional to serve one another as believers. There's serving grace available to us to serve one another and to serve God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. The serving grace of God that was working in and through me. And in Hebrews 12 verse 28, we read, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now, just to stop very quickly, isn't that good news? That we're part of a kingdom that is unshakable. The world we live in is very shakable. But we're part of a kingdom that is unshakable. You know, I sometimes hear people just go on about the world and its mess. And I just remind myself, the kingdom I'm a part of is unshakable. God's kingdom. Praise God. But then it goes on to say, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How will we be able to serve God that way? By grace. Let us have grace. God's serving grace. You see, whatever God asks us to do, He also empowers us to do. Isn't that good news? You know, sometimes you hear the gospel and you hear about saving grace and you think, this is too good to be true. And when you hear something else and you think, how can it get better? But it does. You know, God saves us by His grace, but then He also empowers us by His grace to live a God-honoring life and to do what He called us to do in life. So I just want to remind you of the five things I spoke about today. There's saving grace, and saving grace keeps us from being lost. Sanctifying grace keeps us from being contaminated. Strengthening grace keeps us from being defeated. Sharing grace keeps us from lack and selfishness. And serving grace keeps us from being unproductive in life. And then I want to end with this verse in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15. It says, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. The more of God's grace that you experience in your life, the more it will glorify God. Be bold in desiring to experience His grace in life. Maybe you have already experienced God's saving grace. You're a believer, and maybe His sanctifying grace has started to do a work in you, but you think, you know, that's enough. He has more available to you. There's strengthening grace. He wants you to thrive in life. There's sharing grace, where your needs can be met and you can be generous. And then there's also serving grace to be a blessing to others. And it's always more blessed to give than it is to receive. But thank God for His grace. Amen. And I ask you to please stand for a moment. And as you stand, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, it's just an opportunity for you to just listen to the Holy Spirit. He is the great teacher. He knows you. And maybe He just wants to remind you of something that was said today. Maybe a verse or a specific grace, manifestation of grace, that He just wants to whisper to you right now. And He just wants to remind you that He has it available to you freely. Just like we receive saving grace by grace through faith, that's how we also experience the other expressions of God's grace. If you want to be disqualified, then try and work for it. It's a gift. We can just walk in it by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for speaking to us. If you know in your heart today that you have settled for less, then right now you can say, Lord, I'm done with that. I'm going to go after your best. Thank you, Lord. And I just sense some of you have tried too hard in your own strength and your own effort. And if that is you, you can just say now, Lord, I'm going to allow your grace to do a work in and through me. And I'm going to give you the glory for it. Thank you, Lord. And if you're struggling with something today, I want you to know, God is not mad at you. He is mad about you. Why don't you run to Him instead of away from Him? He's waiting for you, desiring to help you. Thank you, Lord. And if you came today and you don't know Jesus yet, or you're not sure that you're a born-again believer, but you desire to be, you want to receive God's saving grace, today can be your day. Today can change your life forever. So if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand. And I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me without inviting you to the front or anything like that, I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. So if that is you, can I ask you just to raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hands just to pray after me, and I'm going to ask the rest of our church family just to join them as a celebration and just say after me, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for your saving grace. And today I choose to believe in you and to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you and I want to belong to you. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for people saying yes to you for the first time, joining your kingdom, joining your family. We know all of heaven is celebrating with him now, and we're celebrating with him too. And we thank you for their lives. And we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you have available to us. And help all of us to experience your grace in all of its manifold ways, Lord. As we need it, as we desire it. And help us not to settle for anything less than your best in life. Thank you for your strengthening grace that just lifts us up, that restores things in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can choose today to leave a past behind and look to the future, filled with expectation of your goodness. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for all the good things that you do in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer or you'd like someone to pray with you, please join our ministry team there in the corner. They would love to pray and agree with you. Also, remember to please visit Tando House or Queen Bee or both. We have coffee available there. It will be a blessing for you to see it. Thank you for coming today. You are highly favored and deeply loved. God bless you.